Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Well, that great beat, that great music is from a new show you do not want to miss over at the Apollo Theater. It is called Djembe, Drum With Us. And that you will do, because there will be drums at your seat and you will join in with the cast and the musicians as you hear music from all around the world. Some of the music perhaps new to you, depending on what country it's from, and some you will be very familiar with. It is Djembe, Drum With Us. Welcome to the podcast. We're going behind the curtain today. Today, I'm Paul Listick, and joining me for this conversation, two of the leads of this show, which is one is Chicago born and raised. So I'm going to start with you, Rashada Dewan, who is the lead vocalist, I would think it's fair to say, in this show, born and raised on the south side of Chicago. You've seen her in The Lion King, at least if you went to Vegas, and some other places. And she's also been in Carolina Change, over at Second City, so many different wonderful shows. And I'm watching you now in The Red Line on CBS. CBS, which is a great new show filmed in Chicago. So welcome to you, Rashada. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to speak with you, Paul.
We've had a mutual admiration society for a long time, and I think it's mutual. maybe it's just me to you. I don't know. And also joining us, playing the role of the MC of the show, is Ben Hope, who actually made his Broadway debut back in 2012. I saw him on stage, actually. He was surprised that I caught when he was there, but I did, in the musical, award-winning musical, Tony Award-winning, Once. He's also traveled around the country playing so many musical greats. And what I think is really interesting about you, Ben, is, yes, you are an actor, and we're seeing you perform, but I kind of wonder, when I look at your background, having played Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, do you consider yourself an actor who happens to sing, or do you identify with being a singer first?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. You know, I think among my peers, I would like to be appreciated more as an actor, but when I look at it from my own standpoint, I just have such a desire to make music. So I would say I do kind of consider myself to be a musician first.
Yeah, and you're, and of course you're all, I should have said musician, not just singer, but and you do have a band, Ben Hope and the Uptown Outfit. So you guys, while you are in town for this show, are you guys playing anywhere?
No, all my guys are back in New York City, so we're spending some time apart, me and the band.
Gotcha. Unless they surprise you one night and come up and see the show, and then you can jam somewhere, and we will follow you. So, Rashada, when I saw Djembe, I mean, I was told a little bit about it before I went in, but it's kind of hard to almost explain because, as I've said, there's a drum at every seat, although drum is not the fair word. That's the fair word we might know, but tell us exactly, Rashada, what this experience is, and by the way, what's that special name for the drum?
Okay, so the name of the show is called Djembe, right? It's spelled a little weird, so I know it can come off like, how do you pronounce this? But the name of the drum is the name of the show. So it's called Djembe. Everybody in the audience gets the djembe during the show. And then we sort of go through a journey of the djembe rhythm, starting in West Africa, which is where the drum comes from, and how it has influenced all types of music genres down to the music that we listen to even today.
And Rashada, as we go through the show, you've got some costume changes, so you sort of dress to the culture as we go. It would seem as we're sort of learning. Ben, you play the role. You are really one of our drum teachers, right? I mean, you're or djembe teachers, I should say. So, what was your history with this particular drum? Did you know it, or were you learning along with the rest of us initially?
Interestingly, when I was much younger, when I was 16 years old, I bought a djembe randomly from a local music store where I lived in Alabama. I never had any formal training on the drum and the different ways you can use it to speak, and so I hadn't touched one in many, many years. And when I got hired to do this show, actually, Doug Manuel, who created the show, thought that it would be a good idea for me to connect with the drum by going to Senegal and actually training with his djembe teacher from 20 years ago. And so I was very fortunate to go to Senegal for 3 weeks and train with a true djembe fola, a djembe master, which was a remarkable life-changing experience that I will never, ever forget. And I'm a changed person from.
Well, and getting to go there, I should have gone with you. And Ben, most of the other sort of djembe players in the show, people who are doing those instruments, they strike me as though they're also perhaps from that part of the world. Are they? It's only because they look the part, the costumes and all that.
We do have several guys from West Africa. And we also have Sekou Kondé, who's not from West Africa himself, but his family is from West Africa. So his connection to the drum is very rich. And all of those guys have been playing since they were 4 and 5 years old. So they are true masters of their instruments. They're very, very talented. It's certainly worth the ticket price just to see them play. Not to mention to have them kind of teach you a little bit of what they know and get you involved in the music.
Oh, yeah. And Rashada, when it first starts, we do get a lot of music that's, I think, indigenous to the areas you're coming from and all that. What I love about the show is as time goes on, we actually get some songs from this country, that where you really get the audience kind of jamming along with you because we know that music, we know those songs. That seems to be a special part of the show that really get the audience going.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, we touch on everything from West African music and then go over to swing, and then we do a little funk, and then we do some pop. So, I mean, it just makes all types of music in there, and you see people really engage with, I mean, all aspects of it. Because initially, when we were learning the show and they were throwing these new languages on me, I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to, you know, learn all of these languages? And then I wondered, you know, how would people who are really, really a part of the culture identify with what we were doing? And I'm telling you, each night that we do it and you see people singing along and cheering for music that they know that other people may not know, it's just so magnificent to be a part of that.
Ben, mm-hmm. How tough is the teaching part? Again, having seen it, so I can relate to this, because I just thought, With the hundreds of people in this theater, each of whom has a drum in front of them, a djembe in front of them, this is a true risk. And I'm just sort of curious for you, because I just thought, oh my goodness, if we are out of control, or we just go bananas, or we're at a bachelor party headed over to the theater, you might really have some challenges on your hand. But you guys have been playing for a while. How has that been? Are the audiences essentially under control? Because you really do seem to train as well.
Oh, well, thank you very much. The audiences have been very well behaved, save for one individual who we won't talk about that one issue. But we have had incredible audiences that have been enthusiastic, and they have very much taken to playing the drum and learning from the guys out there on stage. And I still feel like a student when I look at my compatriots out there. So it's really nice to be on the stage with people that are that can command the energy of the room so well. Rashada, of course, has such a wonderful presence on stage, and I think the audiences, even though they are all kind of armed with a drum, I think they respect the command that Rashada has for the stage and the relationship that the rest of us have out there together. So people have been very well behaved. We're impressed with the Chicago audience.
And of course, when we're off this podcast, I want to find out about the one guy you're talking about that we. Who's not?
Yeah, that was a fun night for sure.
Whose name is, I'm sure, at the box office?
He might have been overserved. I believe.
I love it. Well, sometimes that can make it fun, right? But and Rashada, I have this theory. Having gone through it, look, I used to do motivational speaking and training and that kind of stuff. That's kind of part of my background.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt when I was watching djembe, you'll notice after I mispronounce it up front, I'm correcting it now and saying it correct all the way through. But I felt when I was there that, and I don't know if this is true about West and Doug, who created the show or wrote it, I felt as though somewhere in their backgrounds, they too had to have this motivational, team-building, whatever kind of background. Now, I don't know if that came before or after, but am I kind of on point when I bring that up, or am I surprising you with that question?
No, you do actually. Doug, who is a visionary and creator for this, he really did initially introduce this concept like that. I mean, this it wasn't the same show, but, you know, this show was Doug and a full band was featured on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. So, you know, when she was traveling around the nation doing that show, she invited Doug and his band to come on and teach like 4,000 people at a time how to play the djembe. You know, at the Apollo, we have 400, so imagine 4,000. So, yeah, it does have its roots in sort of a motivational background.
Yeah, team building.
So to actually bring it, yeah, so you were right about that, to bring it full circle to be at the Apollo to do what we do here. It was really that. It started there, and then we got all types of information from the band and from us, you know, to kind of bring it to where it is right now.
Well, and I'm glad that's the answer, because obviously, Ben, you're doing your part to make it happen as not just the MC, but as somebody who is part of the training process of this, the way you'll tell us to hit the drum in a certain way and then stop. And then, you know, you kind of get us with the timing and the pacing. And so I did get that sense. And you felt as an audience member, you wanted to get it right. You wanted to do it properly. So actually, there was a question I wasn't going to ask you, but I will. Are some audiences so stupid that they can't quite get those rhythms down?
No.
Like, in other words, they mean well, but they just can't do it.
Not once. All the audiences have been wonderful followers, and they have picked it up very quickly. And I've been actually meaning to ask the same thing of Doug, who did a version of the show in France. I've been meaning to ask him if the people in France picked up the rhythms as quickly as the people here in the States. Because I've been shocked at how quick some of the audiences are.
Yeah, well, I, when I was there, we did pick it up pretty good, and I give you guys the credit for the training, because it's literally step by step. You're giving us things to identify with it, so we can get the rhythm. We don't forget, and I just thought it was really well done. And so,
well,
Rashada, this is different for you from the other kinds of shows and performances you've been doing, although arguably,
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Although arguably Lion King, which is so bad. I'm actually going to go see that again. I'm going to be in Florida in a little bit. I'm going to go see the folks in Lion King. Well, you know, you should see that every couple of years, right? But anyway, so I'm just this role seems to have challenges for an actor that maybe other kinds of performances would not have, because again, you're singing, but you are portraying a character.
Yeah, I am. It's really funny or interesting at this point in my career, because just before this, I did Caroline or Change.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I think this is the hardest role I've ever ever played. And then I got this gig and was like, I'm sorry, you want me to sing what? You know, German. I'm not quite sure how to do that. But I really fell in love with the concept and the intention of what this show really is trying to do, or what I believe we do, which is bring people together through music. I was like, you know, this is actually not as difficult as I initially thought it would be, because once we got in front of the audience and they really felt the vibe or the groove, as Ben says, you know, it kind of just comes out. It seems very fluid and comfortable. And I think that's also another reason why the audience just sort of catches on, because you need that element of motivation to encourage people to do something new like this, you know. And then when I'm talking to them, I'm used to doing like singing on street corners and, you know, just entertaining people. So this just seemed like, okay, I can get into the flow of this, because it's all rooted in love and positivity and music, which are all things that I'm about.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the character, and it's a good thing that I identify with it all in such a close, personal way.
And Ben, I think one of the other reasons this works is because of the relationship that you, even more so than the other musicians up there, because you are the MC, you have to create this relationship with the audience, which you do, which gets to be very personal. I mean, it's almost as though you're making eye contact with different people. This is not a show where you can be on autopilot, or we can run you on video and do whatever. You have to connect with each and every audience and get the pulse of that audience.
That's right. And that's a real joy. I mean, that's why I think, you know, a lot of actors turn to live theater for that very reason, that, you know, the dynamic of being in a room with an audience. You know, the most important character in any show is that audience and that relationship you're building there. So when you're, you know, on a film set, those environments can feel a little sterile. But in the live theater, it feels so rich with energy. And so that's something that I've always been attracted to, and why I, have sought a career in live music and live theater, is kind of building those connections night after night is truly one of the great joys of my life. So this role really leans into that. It's a real pleasure.
And this question could go to either of you, but I'll go back to you, Rashada, because, you know, you've got the musicians who are, I think, you know, like Evan, different people who are there for every show. But now when I was there, the keyboard player, who was typically Patrick Donnelly, was paid by Brendan Doshi, which means you're having some, obviously not every musician can be there at every performance. And of course, when you're on, you know, Broadway or Broadway in Chicago, you're kind of like, you wouldn't even know, right? Who knows whether there's a new guitarist, you know, we have no idea. But here, there's a limited number of people. So what are the demands in terms of rehearsal? If there is somebody who's in for that night, working through things, or is everybody just so? I can't imagine that you don't have to have rehearsals and different things all the time.
Well, we do like regular theater. We have put in rehearsals for the musicians just to make sure that we kind of gel together and feel each other's energy and groove and flow throughout the show. So we have put in rehearsals once a week. Part of the challenge for me, though, is to just remember all the new musicians' names on the night of.
That's right, because you got to introduce them, yeah.
That's something I have to just try to stay on top of every night.
Do you ever have to look at somebody and say, hey, you there?
No, thank God. But I did call our original drum player, the guitar player's name one time. I was like, oh, gosh. You know, so sometimes that happens because I had a new musician and my brain went, yay, I got their name right. And when I went to the next musician, I was like, uh-oh. So,
sometimes
that'll happen.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what live theater's all about, right? Things can happen.
That's right.
And Ben, in terms of your working with different musicians on different nights, does that impact you, or you're doing your own thing because you've got your job to do with the audience?
It is impactful, and it's it changes every new addition to the band changes the vibe of our band altogether, and we've got an amazing group of understudies there that are backing Rashada and Seku and Bode up, and a great list of wonderful Chicago musicians that are backups for our band. And so we've got most of the bases covered, so we can keep the show going rain or shine.
Well, now I know how to play the djembe, so if you ever are missing somebody, I can go in because you've taught me, so I can do it.
Hey,
you've got to learn several languages.
Except, right.
Ah.
And, you know, for me, Rashada, I think that this is, to me, is a family show. I mean, there's nothing about it that isn't a family show. And yet, I know it's recommended for people who are at least 8 years old. Is there a difference in the way adults play back and forth with you guys at night versus, I mean, do you get a sense of maybe on a matinee where you have more families, maybe evenings where you have more adults? Is there a difference in the expectations of you or what it demands of you?
You know what? I think Ben and I both can speak on this. But from my perspective, it seems like the children are fearless, you know, about it. When they first get in, they're going to just go for it, which I love watching. And then the adults are sort of like, let me just try. And it seems like by the end of the night, the kids are tuckered out while the adults are like hype, you know, they like fully confident at this point. So that's what I see. But Ben, I don't know. You may have a different experience.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's not that the show isn't also accessible for kids younger than eight, but I think that the kids younger than eight don't necessarily have the motor skills to truly participate the way the adults are. But it doesn't mean they don't have fun, because I see kids out there 4 and 5 years old just having a blast.
Well,
and trying to watch a 4 and 5 year old learn how to snap is the best thing. It's the best.
It's so fun.
Love that.
Well, so now I'll fess up that when I was there, I kind of snuck a 7-year-old in there, even though it was below eight. I got her a fake driver's license, and just we were able to get her in there. But just what you said is so true, because she was the first. I was sitting there kind of going, am I going to really? I know I got this drum here. I got to do this because I got to, you know, whatever. But she was totally into it. And as the show went on, you're right. I was into it, and she kind of put her head down on the drum a little bit. Didn't go to sleep. I mean, she was with it. But the thing is, I kind of like had to. I was into it, and she was a little bit tired. And then, but in the end, you know, everybody was was with it because the energy is so high. So you're right. There was that different experience. In fact, Ben, you played to her a little bit. You didn't know the time, but we chatted with you after the show and you remembered her and you recognized, yeah, you were kind of really into this. And she was. So the little kids, this is an incredible experience for them.
Oh my gosh. And I will say even special needs, our special needs audience members, they even are into it. I mean, I just watch all different cultures and just types of audience members that play throughout the show. And I'm always like, how is this going to play out? And they stay with it all the way through, full 80 minutes.
You also, Ben, the day I saw the show, there was a guy sitting in the back. He wasn't the guy you're talking about. There was a guy sitting in the back. And he also, he had his own instrument. It was not a djembe. I don't think it was a djembe. It looked different. And he was kind of doing his thing. And I at first wondered whether he was with the show, whether he was somebody. But I don't think so, because he was never pointed out, whatever. I think he was just somebody who brought his own instrument. He knew what it was all about and brought an appropriate instrument. Does that happen, Ben? Do you have different people who know what they're in for and maybe are from that culture, that area, and do their own thing?
It's only happened a couple of times, but it was. I remember the guy you're talking about, and that was really interesting. He did show up with a different type of African instrument and played along. We've only had that happen a couple of times, but people are just so enthusiastic. The djembe drum really does inspire a lot of different kinds of people. It's a tool for communication and for expression, and that tends to really light a fire in some people, and that's what the show's all about, is expressing those passions and getting that energy out of ourselves, and doing it with a group just makes it that much better.
Good thing I didn't bring my saxophone with me. That would have thrown everything off. Because I also haven't played it since high school, so...
Next time.
Uh-oh.
That would have been problematic. And the other thing I paid attention to, because again, when I saw it, I was really looking for audience reaction, because it's such a unique show that I just wanted to kind of see how people were responding. And so I was also taking a look at some of the, older audience members, and you can define older however you want. That age is getting older and older for me as the years go on. But I was talking to one of the producers here at WGN who said, oh yeah, my mom, her mom, who was in her 70s, went to the show with a group of friends and absolutely loved it. And I was so happy to hear that, because like I said, you can have a 7 to 70. It just didn't matter. I think they just maybe Rashada take it in a different way or get something else out of it. If you've been around for 70 years, you've experienced the kinds of music you're talking about throughout the years.
Well, that's it. Because like when we step into do a little like swing, I see them light up. They love when we go into that section. We do a little blues, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're singing along and still playing. But I think that also has a lot to do with how Ben handles the audience as well. Because, I mean, if the tables were turned, I promise you, I don't play as well as I sing. So I don't know if I could be able to do what Ben does, but because he handles it in such a patient way and kind of goes with the tempo of the audience and, communicates the expectation where everybody can grasp it, everybody feels comfortable.
So, Ben, I guess that throws it to you, because it's true. So are you, when you're interacting, I've seen you interact with the young people and the middle-aged people like me. When we throw in the older citizens in there, is that impacting you? Are you conscious of that, or you're just, hey, everybody's got to do the same thing here?
Well, it is. Yeah, we're so aware because of how rich our connection is with each audience every night. We're very aware, and it's wonderful. My mom actually is coming to see the show this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what her experience is with the show. She is in her 70s, and she's seen me do every show I've ever done. Essentially, she's seen me be in shows since I was like 12, and I'm curious to see what she thinks about the show. But there is something special when you see an older audience member out there. This is a new experience for them as well, just like the children in the audience that might not have ever been to see a show yet. It's a new experience for them. But older audience members have never been invited to participate in the band of a theatrical show and to, necessarily come in and sing along and be entertained but be involved in the entertainment. So it's a new experience for every audience member across the spectrum, and that's always a real joy to kind of watch their faces light up.
You know, I think you're right. I think the most we get to do is, like, hit beach balls around on certain shows, you know, like Margaritaville or something, where the stage sends them out there, and we're just, and of course, we'll get into that, too. We're whacking these things around all over the place. That's our job. But you're right. When you probably don't get to see, well, no, Ben, you might get to see this because you're on the stage before Rashada, but when people come in who may not know what they're in for, I'm just curious, and people see the drums, and again, we're not talking, you know, a little drum or tambourine at their seat. This is a drum. The djembe is a drum. Do you get some people sort of like, oh my God, well, wow, and I mean, what do they kind of freak out when they see what's waiting for them?
We are not really able to see what their experience is before the show starts.
But you come out first. You come out first. You catch him a little bit closer, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Ben comes out first. But even still, the audience will have kind of banged on the drum and had okay. their first interaction still before Ben gets out there. So
yeah.
So we can hear them from backstage, kind of enjoying their drums mm-hmm. on their own. Mm-hmm.
And I hope you don't have people taking those djembes home with them.
No, that hasn't happened yet.
Seem to still have tons of them. So.
That's good. We gotta keep everybody honest and whatever, because it's really a treat. I mean, it really is such a unique experience. I encourage everybody to see Djembe. It's at the Apollo Theater. It's there through June 9th. The website is djembetheshow.com, and I think I need to spell that. It is D-J-E-M-B-E. That's how you spell djembe, no matter how you say it. djembetheshow.com. I'll also list that on the website with the podcast so people can see that as well. But don't wait, because June 9th is what it's playing through, and I'm assuming both you guys, you're there for the whole run. We're gonna see you every night when we go in there.
Yeah.
And what a great time you're having with the show. I appreciate your time with me talking about it. I hope to catch it again before it leaves. And we're going to go out. I need to say one other thing. I had a variety of clips that were sent to me that I could choose from to play for this interview. And I intentionally just wanted songs where Rashada, where we hear you singing, because I just think that, first of all, this is an audio thing. It's not visual. But I should mm-hmm. tell the listeners that the other clips I were sent, even though they might not include you singing, they're all, there's drumming, there's, and the great part of the visual aspect of those is they include audience members. So another sort of thing, perhaps mm-hmm. if you see this ad on television or elsewhere, what you will see is the audience members into this and getting along. I don't have the luxury of letting them see that, so I'm describing it. But as we listen to this, just know that while we see you in the clip, we actually have the audience members joining in, singing along, and just having a great, great time. And so I thank
nice.
You, Rashada Dewan, Ben Hope. The show is Djembe. djembetheshow.com is the website through June 9th at the Apollo Theater, which is a great place to be. We're going to go out with a little bit more music, and it is called Kene. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.